Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm going to read a few selected verses from a book in the Old Testament. But, you know, they've discovered that many times how we view God, our Father in heaven, that it is our view of Him many times is directly related to how we have viewed a father in our own life. That there is a similarity. Now, that doesn't mean that we will always view God in light of how we view our dad, okay? Because if that was the case, we would never really be able to know what He's like. Because even if we had a good dad, they're still imperfect. Where our Father in heaven is perfect in every manner, in every way, just in who He is. It's His character, it's His nature, it's who God is. And it's also a good thing that we are not limited to our understanding of God as a father to us simply by our own dad, because we have grown up in a world where maybe there are people in this room, you don't even know who your dad is or was, or he left home when you were young, or a tragedy hit your home where he was removed from your home by death. You see, if it was only dependent upon our earthly father, then we would always have a little bit of a skewed view of what God is like. And yet, in our life, we need to understand the role of a father and what God is like. And I want you to take hold of this morning, every one of us in this place, that our Father in heaven is not just a God who is up there ready to bring final judgment on every person. I mean, judgment is something that we face. But between here and there, God is wanting to reveal and show Himself as a God of love and who cares about you. And our views can be very distorted because we look at all the human relationships in our life and the human relationship with a father who is imperfect. And so people struggle and wrestle. And I want you to hear this. I want you to know this too. The studies show. And it shows up at men's conferences and things like that. That though you may be a man in this room who, hey, you've had your own children, you may have your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, and there is still something in you that wrestles and struggles because of your view of your own father. The way that he was, or the way that he treated you, or the way that you perceived he treated you. Every man in this room who is a father, we're acquainted with our mistakes. We're acquainted with our errors. It's not like we wouldn't want to take something back. It's not like if we could do it over, we wouldn't change some things. Certainly we would. But I want us to see who God is in heaven as a father. And that, you know what, there are ways and times that He has helped you and I in this room as His own child, that we don't even recognize that He's helped us. We don't even recognize that He's there. I'm going to read you a few selected verses from an Old Testament book. And if you try to follow along, you're going to wonder, okay, what verse did he go to and where is he at? And rather than me read all of that out to you, you can read this chapter on your own at some point. But it talks about God's love for His people. And that time, of course, Israel. His people. It was limited to those who would become Jewish by birth or by choice, being grafted in. And of course, through Jesus Christ, it's not limited to a certain group of people. The salvation is open to every nationality there is. It's about God loving people and showing himself to people who will believe upon him and believe upon his son, Jesus Christ. Because we know that there's no way unto the Father in heaven except through personal faith in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior, as the Son of God. That's what Scripture teaches. So in Hosea chapter 11, it says right from the start, God speaking, he says, Israel, when you were a child, I loved you. I loved you. And out of Egypt I called you. Now, Egypt represents a place of slavery, right? Place of bondage. God's people were in Egypt. They were slaves. And God is saying, from the very beginning, I loved you, and I have called you out of slavery. I have called you out of the things that have been bondage to you. Now, I want you, we have to, all scriptures is for us to apply to our life. We in this room don't know what it is to be a slave in Egypt. But those of us in this room, we know what it is to be a slave to other things. We know what it is to be a slave to sin, or be a slave to a habit, or be a slave to an attitude. And those things destroy us. They wreck us. They affect our relationships. They affect how we make decisions. They affect how we handle and view people. It affects us in a lot of ways. And God is saying to us this morning, from the very beginning, I've loved you. And I have called you out of slavery or your Egypt, whatever it is. Whatever you've been a slave to, or the thing that started out thinking you were in control and it deceived you, and now it controls you. God's called us out of that. It's interesting that you look at the history of God's people and it says, the more I called you, the further you went from me. You ever know what that's about? Have you in this room maybe been a parent where your child has done something or they're going a route that you know is destructive and you want them to discover it on their own, but you don't want to just leave them go. You want to give them warning. You want to give them counsel. But the more that you tried to show love, the more that you tried to counsel, the more that you tried to show them that, you know what, this is not the way. And it wasn't just about your opinion as a parent. You saw what the child could not see. Because of yours or experiences in your own life, you had an insight and a wisdom or something that God revealed to you that you knew on behalf of your child that they could not see or know. And the more you tried to love them, the harder they ran away. God's going through that as a father. He said, I loved you, I've called you out of this, but the more I've loved you, the more I've called you, the more I've counseled you, the more I've tried to protect you, the further you've run from me. God says, I'm the one who taught you how to walk. Taking you by the arms. I mean, who in this place have had a picture before you whose heart would not be warmed by a father? Taking their child by the arms. You ever see one of those scenes where the father picks the child up, they're facing the same direction and holds the child, and then the child comes to a place where they can hold the dad's fingers. You ever see that? And they're ready to fall, and you hold them up, you pick them up. You ever see where they put the child's feet on the dad's feet? You ever do that? And you just, I'll tell you what, these 2 days I went away, and this happens other times. These 2 days away, Sue and I were without our children. Oh, and we miss them so. We did miss them. But texting and calling is, you know, keeps us in touch. And I would see, we were growing up, people with children. In fact, in one place, and this wasn't their parents, but we were walking through the Skyway system, which goes through building to building and through stores, and we saw an adult on one end of a rope and an adult on the other end, and all the kids between hanging onto a little rope, and they were taking them through downtown Minneapolis in the Skyway system. And I mean, and it was just, I mean, it warms my heart. And you see these little children, and they're just walking, hanging onto the rope. Oh, yeah, I bumped my head. And, you know, and, oh, my head was this, and the other one, oh, me too. You know, and they're just carrying on their smile, and they're just talking. You see people with the strollers. Of course, the strollers now are, I mean, they've come so far from when we had strollers even. I mean, they've got wheels now that are the size of, you know, the size of a compact car. And they're three-wheelers, and they sit down in this cockpit, and they got stuff for everything, and it's like no effort to push these things. I mean, you have to remember, we had three in diapers at one time. I mean, we had strollers where they sat in front of each other, because, you know, our first two, not physically, but they kind of look like twins. People would ask, oh, are they twins? No, they're 13 months apart. Yeah, it's possible. And what, you know, then you got bags hanging off, and they were the small wheels, and they this, and to get them unfolded, and then to fold them up, I mean, but geez, we would see these parents and all the stuff, and then they're walking, and I sit there and I think, I remember when. And the feelings that I felt for my children, not that I don't have them now, but they've grown, they developed. They're, you know, I'm not teaching them how to walk physically. I am trying to teach them how to walk spiritually, and mentally, emotionally, and relationally. They take their steps, but at that age, it's not like they stopped and turned around and said, just want to tell you thanks. They didn't know. I mean, they knew, but they didn't know. I mean, they knew Dad was there, but it. And God's saying, I'm the one that taught you how to walk. I took you by the arms. But you didn't even realize it was me. It was I who was healing you. I led you with cords of kindness and ties of love. I took the yoke off your neck. In other words, the bondage, the heaviness. I took it off your neck. It says that God, I'm the one that bent down to feed you, and care for you. And God says this, how can I give you up? How can I hand you over? How can I stand by and watch you mistreated? How can I make you to be like the ones who've gone and been destroyed? It says, my heart has changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. God looks upon you in this place, and he sees where you are a slave to something, and maybe it's sickness or maybe it's disease. Maybe it's because your heart is so broken. You're down, you're depressed, you've lost your wits about you. You're just trying to preserve whatever it is you have because you're carrying with you heartbreak and everything else that goes along that seems to have been the history of your life. Disappointments and people. Maybe you feel like you haven't been given the favor that somebody else has. Maybe in the midst of that, you've allowed yourself to be tied up in habits or things that you're trying to get enjoyment from that doesn't last anyhow, because the real need is what needs to be met. And so we entangle ourselves in all kinds of things. And God is saying, I've come. I'm the one that's come to pick you up, call you out, I mean, you look at the life of Jesus Christ. He came and he agonized so that we could make it. Our Father in heaven, he has pushed us and pulled us through things and wants to because he loves you. Have you ever heard a man named Dick Hoyt and his son Rick? I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they have a story, a remarkable story, a story that I became acquainted with. And as I became acquainted with the story, my eyes could not stay dry. Because it is an example, a human example, that though he is an imperfect father, he has done some wonderful things. The kind of things that could portray in a small way what God is like. Because when we have been born into sin, we have all kinds of disability and disadvantage. But he has made it possible to overcome the disadvantage and the disability through the forgiveness of sin and through God's love. And he agonized to make this possible for us. I want you to meet and become acquainted with Dick and Rick Hoyt.
This morning we're launching a new series called Today's Real Heroes. Our national correspondent Natalie Morales is here with an unforgettable pair. Natalie?
And it's a story you have to see to believe. Our real...
Do you realize who it is who's taught you to walk when you're crippled by sin? Do you know who it is who empowers you to love when you have been unloved? When you've been hurt or violated? Do you realize who it is who picks you up when you feel alone and you get to your feet? Do you understand who it is? Do some of you in this room understand who it is who's brought you out of some of the things of your past? Rick said something so important. She quoted him and said that when he's running, though his legs aren't moving, but his dad is pushing it. He said, when I'm running, it's like my disability goes away. That father wants his son to enjoy the race. Do you understand that your Father in heaven wants the disability of sin to be crushed and removed out of your life? Heartache, the influence of past pain still determining what you're going to live like, that he wants you to come into this race of life under his mercy and grace and power. He wants to push you through, pull you through. I'll tell you what, it is something to me to watch this father have his son on the front of this bike. It does something to me to see him push as he runs. The part that I just can't take is when he's swimming and he's pulling this raft, providing all the power and all the direction for his son to be able to navigate through those waters. Who do you think it is that's cleared the way for you? Do you remember who it is who's given you the talent, the ability the giftedness. No matter what the ability is, whether you sing, whether it's hospitality, whether it's an art, whether it's the ability to produce wealth, whatever it is. Who is it that has given that to you? There are miracles all over this room. Some physical, some emotional, some mental. If you were to look at your past, and let's say it was broken relationship and what you went through before, and now that you could be in this place and sit in this place and be in a relationship now where there's love, where there's respect, and you think that's a miracle. Because how I came out of that past, there is no way, no how, that I should ever be able to enjoy the relationship that I am now in. You understand who gives that? He is the one who's taught you to walk, taught you to run, wants you to enjoy the race, the one who will clear the way for you when you are crippled by all these different things in life. That's what God's writing to his people. I've loved you from the beginning. I've picked you up by the arms. I've taught you to walk. I'm the one who heals you, even when you didn't recognize me. It's time for us in this room to recognize him maybe just a little more. There's a message that goes along with it. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 18. He tells the story of a man who was in debt. And it was time for his debt to be called in. And the man couldn't pay the debt. And so by law, the man who was owed the money could have had him thrown in prison until he paid it off, or taken it from his family, or his family work it off. Instead, the one who called in the debt, who could not be paid, he forgave the man. And that man who was forgiven went out to someone else who owed him a small amount. And he did not show the same mercy that was shown him. And judgment then fell on that man's life. And Jesus says, that which has been done for you, you should now in turn do for others. In other words, you have been forgiven this debt, sir. How is it that you could not forgive this small debt that someone owed you? That which we have received from God is the same thing that we should be giving to others. As he has cleared the way for us, as he has pushed us, as he has taught us to walk, as he has pulled us through things. Who is it that you are pushing through? Who is it that you are pulling through? Who is it that you are helping clear the way for their success in life? You see, we want it for ourselves, and it's designed for us by God showing us love. But it doesn't stop there. It's that we are now compelled by this same love that God has extended to us. That while we were crippled by sin and by decisions and by habits and all these other things, who around us is crippled in some way? That we are pushing, pulling, clearing the way for. You see, that same love that was given to me, to you, we in turn are to do the same for others around us. That's the gospel. That's the kind of faith that saves us. It's not just believing and not just receiving, but believing and receiving, that our cup would overflow and pour out to others, that they too can enjoy this love of God in this life. Remember who's pushed, pulled, and navigated your life through difficult times, even in times where you thought God wasn't there. And who around you now needs the same? In Hosea, it said God's, all his compassion was aroused. It is time for you and I to stop feeling sorry for ourselves and to begin to feel compassion for those around us.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.